Welcome to Unity Fort Worth Online. We are a spiritual center of love and wisdom, affirming God's presence in our lives and reaching the larger community in ever-increasing circles of good.
So utterly delightful to hear that song from one so relatively young and talented, and certainly with no gray hair, by the way. You're not there yet. Unlike many of us. Beautiful. You know, we're all uniquely gifted, and that's the title of our message today, right? We're uniquely gifted, but spiritual gifts are not skills. And I think sometimes we feel like the gifts are, I've got to learn a skill. I've got to learn a better way to do something. And that's not what a spiritual gift is. A spiritual gift is a gift of consciousness, which may translate into skills according to our guidance. But it's not a skill in and of itself. It's a free gift. It's a gracious giving from God. And this is important to understand, because we can't force these things, you know. And that's what I like about the five-week series we're about to do, because I've done spiritual gifts inventories before, where you're supposed to find your spiritual gifts. And they sound like a bunch of skills, but this series doesn't do that. It talks more about going to spirit first, going to the true self, and then discovering our unique expression of that spirit for ourselves. And gifts can change, can't they, in different parts of our lives? In some parts of my life, I'm skilled. I'm skilled. I'm using that gift in the terms of skill. I'm able to express it in a certain way, and then later in life, it's different. So things change. It's not a static thing, because God is endlessly creative within us. Listen to what Charles Fillmore, co-founder of Unity, said about this. I like what he said. He says, God's greatest gift to humankind is the power of thought, through which he can incorporate into his consciousness the mind of God. I like that. God's greatest gift to humankind is the power of thought, is creative mind, creative thinking, through which we can incorporate into our consciousness the mind of God. And that's huge, isn't it? We can incorporate into our consciousness the mind of God. Well, the mind of God is what? Infinite, right? Endless. Endless possibility. But we have the ability to be an inlet for that endless possibility. Now, if we really took that home, if we really took that on board, what would happen next? We'd be going, woo! Wow! But we don't sort of take it on board. We sort of think, oh, that's a nice, you know, intellectually, it sounds kind of cool. But if we were to really realize it, you know, we'd have those aha moments. That's the giggling guru moment, you know. The gurus giggle because they realize, man, I can harness the mind of God. Wow! This is fun. And therefore, if we're not harnessing it, if we're not doing it, we're sort of squandering our gift, right? Because that's the greatest gift we've been given, is the power of our thinking. And so much of our thinking goes in so many directions, right? It's confusing. It's into negativity. It's into, ain't it awful? How many people awfulize things? Know what I'm talking about? You know, oh, ain't it awful? Oh, my God, life is going to hell in a handbasket, right? I had to go to the doctor last week, so I'm catastrophizing like my body's falling apart. Then he just pats me on the back and says, go forth, my son, and everything's fine again. But I self-created all the fear, right? And so my thinking goes in the wrong direction instead of in a God direction. And I realized, man, that was a complete waste of time. You know, Jesus talks about it. He says, can you by worrying change any darn thing? No. But does that stop me from worrying? No. That's the stupidity of the human mind. But it's also the creativity of the human mind, because that's the great gift of thought. It's free thought. It's free will, right? We don't have to think God's thoughts. God lets us think any old thought. But when we think God thoughts, then we begin to align with the infinite mind of God, and things turn around. Things transform. That's why we call Unity a part of new thought, right? Because I'm having a new idea. I'm turning so that I can move in God direction. Like I said, in the prayer, ego doesn't want to. Right? Ego's arrogant. It wants to do it its own way. But the spirit within us is willing to be flexible, yes? Isn't that the idea of turning the other cheek? It's not to get beaten up by other people. It's not a passive or a masochistic approach to life. It's the ability to see things differently. I don't have to be stuck in that direction, right? I can see it in another light. I could see somebody else's point of view. Wow, that's a huge one, isn't it? Have you ever done that? Yeah. Empathize with somebody else? What happens when you do that? How does it feel? Your brain explodes. Because maybe there's another way of approaching this. It doesn't have to be my way, right? Because when it's your way, it has to be the highway, right? There's only one option, my way or the highway. Whereas when you're open to turning and changing and being flexible and opening to the mind of God, then it can be all of our ways. I don't have to put somebody else down so I can feel better. So open, I say, your mind, right? Your mind to the infinite possibility of God. Let's read from James, because James is good on this. Book of James, tucked there right at the end of the Bible, just before Revelation. And we handled Revelation okay last week, remember? It was okay, so this is much more user-friendly. And this is from chapter 1. No one who is tested should say, God is tempting me. This is because God is not tempted by any form of evil, nor does he tempt anyone. Everyone is tempted by their own cravings. So don't blame it on God, and don't blame it on the devil, because we don't believe the devil exists. The devil didn't make me do it. I made me do it. Everyone is tempted by their own cravings. They are lured away and enticed by them. And cravings can mean so many things: distractions, literal cravings, physical cravings for things. Chocolate, okay. You have been lured away by these things. Once these cravings conceive, they give birth to sin. Oh, yeah. And that sin is so, so good. And when sin grows up, it gives birth to death. Well, you know, all it's saying is when you choose the wrong way, you're in a deadly place. You're in a place of limited opportunities, right? You're in a living tomb of hell sometimes because we've chosen to believe in all the doom and gloom and the awfulizing. Or we've indulged ourselves so much, we're throwing up in a dark room. Don't be misled, he goes on to say, my dear brothers and sisters, and here's the nubbins of it. Every good gift, every perfect gift comes from above. These gifts come down from the Father, the creator of the heavenly lights, in whose character there is no change at all. Because it's infinite possibility always present. He chose to give us birth by his true words. And here is the result. We are like the first crop from the harvest of everything he created. Now that is a powerful line. Let's read it again. He chose to give us birth by his true word, and here is the result. We are like the first crop from the harvest of everything he created, like everything God created. So in other words, we are, what's the word? It's just so powerful. God wants us to imitate him, her, right? To live that infinite possibility life to the full, right? Like Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. It's that abundance, it's that profligate nature on all levels, right? To have enough to eat, enough to live on, but also to have an abundance of ideas and creativity and generosity to live happy, magnificent lives. You know, there are people who do this, aren't there, that actually live from this context. And we see the results. Some of the great masters of this world, some of the great saints. But I think we can all live from this. You know, the song said earlier, I may not, what was it again? I may not make a change for the whole world to see. How's it going to go on from there? There we go. If I can show more kindness, that's all that matters to me, right? Because that's the bottom line, isn't it? It's how do I express myself? I'm a unique expression of those particular magnificent gifts that God has given me. And it's up to me to show them, that's all. It doesn't have to be mind-blowing or world-changing, because it's not about that. It's about how much am I in line with the truth of my being? How am I letting that express? We, the human family then, right, are all in this together, aren't we? We're working for the common good. Yeah? And so therefore, as a community, as we are, that's part of our task, isn't it, is to be a counterbalance to some of the craziness. And our meditation time, our spiritual practice, is for us also to be in counterbalance to some of the other crazy stuff that's going on in our heads, right? To remember the truth of our being. I like the emphasis, like I said, in the class that we're going to do now in the next 5 weeks, the emphasis in the spiritual gifts class is, first of all, discover who you are in truth, right? Discover who the being part of us is, because unless you discover your being, you cannot be a doing. Doing doesn't come first. Being comes first, and then from that, the gifts flow. Let me do an exercise for you from The Headless Way. Anybody familiar with The Headless Way? Headless Way. On having no head. It's a book by a man named Douglas Harding, and he was busy doing his work from the 60s until the 2000s, I think, and he died then. But he discovered what he called the headless way, and basically it's a very simple technique, but he had many, many different ways of experiments that he did, and he's got followers who came after him. But if you're interested in this, you can look it up on Google. Just look up The Headless Way, and there's all these experiments that you can do. But here's a simple one. He said, basically, you know, you can see your feet, right? You can do this exercise. We can see our feet. We can see our legs. We can see our torso and everything. But you cannot see your face. Nobody has ever seen their real face except in a mirror, right? You've never seen your face. None of us ever do. And instead, we've got this sort of blank here, right? Now, you know you've got a head and a face because others have told you and because you've looked in the mirror. But the reality is you've never seen it, right? And this is true. None of us have ever seen our face because you just can't. So he's saying, now, what do you see? What is looking out from this? He says emptiness. Emptiness is looking out into the world, right? This is the witness. This is the God self. The God witness is looking out into the world. And what's the nature of this emptiness? Spacious. Nothing sure. It's just looking. It's just seeing. Right? And so what does it see? Well, it sees whatever it looks, whatever it focuses upon. Right? And if it's focusing only in one direction, then it only sees that one thing. But it has the choice to turn, to see different things. But all the while, what is staying the same? What is changeless, as the Bible says? It's the God part of us. It's the witness. So the eyes by which we see out are the same eyes by which God sees the universe. So this is God, for each of us, looking out into the world, right? Now, what does that do for you when you begin to focus on this emptiness instead of identifying with this humanness or with all the circumstances out there? What begins to happen? Can you notice it? Do it for yourself now. Look from that emptiness. Is it different? Because normally we're looking from the identity of who we are, right? As Paul, or as a middle-aged person, or as not feeling so good today, or all the identities that we wrap around ourselves, or don't feel so good, or whatever it is. But all that is added extras. This spaciousness is permanent, and it's empty of all those conditions, right? It just is. It takes on color from what it focuses upon. Therefore, we have the choice, don't we, to focus on the possibilities rather than the limitations, right? Because that's no more real than anything else. What's real is this empty spaciousness that is the witness that I am, right? And so the more we could do that, then the more we contact this place of infinite possibility. And you know, Douglas Adams said there's four stages. When you're a child, you're in this space all the time. You don't even know you've got a body. You don't even know you've got a name. You don't even know you've got conditions. You're just floating in this infinite spacious place. As we get older, we begin to learn to accept the fact that we're not infinite, right? That we have a body, we have a name, we have conditions, we have the circumstances around us. None of that is real, by the way. It's just helping us move through life, I guess. And as we live our lives, sometimes the conditioning can be so strong that we forget that this is the reality, that the emptiness is the reality, right? And that's what the spiritual path is all about, isn't it? Is for us to remember who we are. And in the Douglas Harding viewpoint, there's the fourth stage of man. There's the baby, there's the adolescent, the adult, and then there's what he calls the seer, the one that sees clearly the truth of our being, right? And that's what we're about if we're on a spiritual path, is become a seer, to see who I truly am, that I'm not conditioned, that I'm free, that I can be anything I choose to be. Try it sometime. You know, spend the day with the silent witness, the emptiness, and notice how things might be different when you go into a certain circumstance, and how easily it is to be reactive to things, you know, rather than just say that I'm the witness. These things are happening, but they're not happening to me. They're not impacting me unless I let them. I am bringing instead spacious compassion and love to the situation. So you can change this whole circumstance around. Ever been caught up in traffic and reacted? Of course we have. Who's reacting? The spaciousness? I don't think so. It's some memory from the past. It's some annoyance. It's some ego satisfaction or dissatisfaction that's triggered, right? And if the spaciousness can see that, it'll let it go completely because it doesn't want that. It doesn't identify with that. That's not its reality. And you find yourself free to bless the situation rather than to curse it. And the more blessing we can do, the healthier, happier, and more magnificent we will be, right? So quit your cursing. That's what I say to myself. So, what are we saying then? First of all, in order to discover our spiritual gifts, we be this presence, right, this spaciousness. And then what arises from that? All the things that we need to effectively respond in that circumstance, in that condition of our life. It's not that conditions aren't there. They don't just disappear. But we are creative. We are able to have gifts to bring to those circumstances. Have you ever stayed centered, even while it's been chaotic, and been able to bring peace into a certain situation? How did you do that? Did you do it? No, God did it through you, yeah? Have you ever spoken the right perfect words to somebody and you don't know where those words came from, but they came spontaneously? That's the gift, isn't it? That's the spiritual gift that comes when our thoughts are aligned with God's mind, yeah? We are given amazing abilities that we couldn't imagine otherwise. So, what are we learning today? What are we taking home from this? That we are uniquely gifted. What are you gonna walk away from? Because you know, I haven't done that in a few weeks. I usually say, well, what are you taking away? So I haven't done that for a few weeks. What are you taking away from this today? Take each moment as a fresh moment, okay? Because this infinite space here treats it like that, right? It treats it as new. It's a newborn baby, but basically, this consciousness, except it's a baby, a star baby, if you like, that has full knowledge of everything. Yeah. Flow from the inside out, right? The witness looks out, but is not limited by the without, because the without changes constantly, depending on where we are and what we're looking at. So don't take your lead from that. Take it from the inside out, from your beingness. This is how Jesus could turn the tables on all the idiocy out there, because he didn't buy into it. He was centered in his truth, right? He was centered in oneness with the Father, which is his name for this spaciousness. And therefore, he was able to do all things, could create wonderful happenings, joyous happenings, miracles, demonstrations of all kinds, because he was flowing with God's Spirit. And he didn't just say, listen, I'm perfect here, and you better listen to me and follow along. But he didn't say that. He said, no, I want you to follow exactly what I'm doing and do it yourself, right? Live from that same consciousness. That's two things. Let's get a couple more. Excellent ones. Say it again. Take off the colored lenses, right, that condition our world, right, and just look directly with the spacious openness of spirit. I love it. Oh, yeah, okay, so we're going to take a vacation. It's sort of a staycation, isn't it? Yeah, we're staying in the presence of God. Rather, we're vacating. The ego's vacating so that spirit can be present, which is God expressing. You're taking God for a walk this week. That's pretty amazing stuff, isn't it? Imagine what we can do this week doing that. Yeah, take your God for a walk. No leashes required. Just a leash on your own ego, that's all. Excellent stuff. Stay, yeah. Oh, we can go for miles on that one. Yeah. You're going to meet my dog trainer. He's going to have a good laugh on that one. One more.
Give God the least.
You know, there's no condemnation here, right? When we're in this place, there's no need to beat ourselves up. There's no need to say, oh, God, you got all that wrong. That's sinful. That's miserable and all that. There's no need. It's a waste of time because you realize, man, I'm already free, right? That's the beauty of it. That's the giggling guru moment, is to know that you're already free, and it's just a question of remembering that truth and living from it. Then I promise you, when you're in that place, gifts will arise spontaneously, right? And we'll be able to see how we put them into practice, how we embody them with the skill. That's when the skill comes in. And that's part of the class series we're going to do. And I'm hoping that those of you who can't be at the classes will also continue this dialogue as we go through the services and other activities in the church. So we're going to all be part of this journey, yeah? That's enough. Amen.
Thanks for listening. This ministry is funded through the generous contributions of individuals just like you. If you have found spiritual enrichment here, please visit us online at unityfortworth.org and make a donation. We sincerely thank you for your contribution, and we affirm with you, divine love through me blesses and multiplies all that I have, all that I give, and all that I receive, and I am grateful.